Lord, how we thank you once again for this day. Thank you for this time of fellowship, Lord. Thank you for the love that's in this place. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that's in this place. Now we ask, Lord, you would speak to us through your word. We thank you that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It illuminates the way, Lord, as we try our best to navigate through a dark, dying, decaying world. So we ask, Lord, that you would speak to us, lead, guide, direct. And let us not just be hearers of the word, but let us be doers of the word. So we love you, we bless you, and we thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
If you would, open your Bibles to John chapter 9. See if we can get my mic going correctly. I don't know if it's the batteries, Ivy. Could be the batteries. All right. John chapter 9. So since about October, as opposed to trying to give two messages, I've just been giving one communion message. So I'll give a communion message this morning. We will take communion and be dismissed. Make a note. It was a blessing. Last weekend we were on our family retreat. So it was, I think it was about 45 of us up in the mountains worshiping God and acting silly. Probably more acting silly than worshiping God, but that's what we do. In the mountains. That's what family does, right? So I just want to thank those of you that were here that didn't go on the retreat and those that did. Just as God continues to build us as a family, as a body of believers, let's continue to do his will. Let's stay focused. We're in a really good, healthy place as a church. Just all the way around financially, spiritually. Family-wise, so just let's stay focused on God. Remember, if you give a moose a muffin, yeah, he'll want a glass of milk, so neither give place to the devil, amen? Stay focused. As we continue to try and affect this community for Jesus Christ. All right, so for our visitors, what we've been doing, we read the Proverbs daily. Today we read Proverbs 3, those of us that read. Ivy, can you turn it down, or is it just the batteries?
It's the batteries.
All right, so we read Proverbs 3 today. So what we've done, we've allowed the Proverbs to replace the horoscope. Amen? So instead of trying to look to the horoscope, to the stars, we look to the one who created the stars. Today is July 3rd, so we read Proverbs 3, which is one of the most incredible, personally for me, it's one of the most incredible chapters in the Bible. When you get a chance, if you haven't already, read Proverbs 3, the entire thing. Amen? Double A. All right. Let's see if we can pull this off. See if the mic works, if it's batteries or if it's... Yeah, mom. Hey, what did they do before microphones, right?
That's right.
Did Jesus have a microphone?
That's why he gave you a diaphragm there, bro.
When we were, I don't know, Wayne, did you ever go to Israel with Maranatha? Did you ever make the trip?
No, I didn't make it.
When we went to Israel, we were in the upper room, and the acoustics in that place was just incredible. You could speak and it just echoes like this. So they didn't need a microphone because the acoustics were just so great there. But thank God. I think that kind of did it a little bit. Amen. All right, let's look at John chapter 9, verse 1. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. Ooh, amen. Let's go home. All right. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man that was blind from his birth. All right. So to put this in proper context, we have to go back to chapter 8. For those of you taking notes, make a note that the chapters were separated by the scholars as they put the Bible together, because it all just went together. But they separated into chapters for our benefit. So this 8 and 9, it flows together just like the entire Bible does. But here we are. Jesus is just leaving a very intense situation and conversation in chapter 8. Let's look at eight and chapter 8 and verse 10. The Pharisees had just brought a woman to Jesus who had been caught in adultery. Which is bizarre, because I don't know how you can commit adultery by yourself, but they just brought the woman. And they were trying to ask Jesus what to do. He wrote in the sand. Verse 10, we pick it up. When Jesus lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, "Woman, where are your accusers? Hath no man condemned you?" Verse 11, she said, "No man, Lord." And Jesus said unto her, "Make a note of that, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." Sometimes we have the wrong idea of Jesus, that he's out to get us, he's out to condemn us, but that's not the way God works. He's come to set us free, not to condemn us. And then you look at verse 12, then spoke Jesus unto them, saying, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Then Jesus gets into the conversation with the Pharisees. They talked about his mama, called his mama, implied that his mama was a harlot or a streetwalker. Then Jesus, he talks about their daddy. In verse 44, he tells them that your daddy is the devil. Those are fighting words. We talked about that before. Somebody call your mama a you-know-what and call your daddy this. It's time to fight. Go down to verse 8:58. And then Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am." Jesus tells them, "I'm God." If anyone claimed to be God, they would be stoned, killed by death by stoning. So that's why it wasn't Jesus' time to die. So then, verse 59, they took up stones to cast at Jesus, but he hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. So here's this situation. It's tense. Jesus is upset. He's angry, but he's not committing sin. He walks out of the temple. By the way, this was in the church of their day. Those was church folks acting like that. Amen? Thank God none of you all act like that in here, but they did. And he walks by and he sees a man who was born blind. So make a note that despite all the stuff we have to deal with, the frustrations, the haters, the threats, we can't miss the people outside of the church that need help. Make a note that despite what was going on, Jesus still had time to take note of the man outside of the church that was blind. And he was blind from birth. So we talked about the lady with the issue of blood. She had that 12 years. The man at the pool of Bethesda, he was there 38 years. When John and Peter healed the lame man who was lame from birth, he was a man years and years. Here's another man since his birth. Sometimes God takes a while to get to you. Sometimes you have to wait. It's not an overnight thing. Can you wait for God? Can you wait for God? Can you wait 20 years for God to move on your behalf? Can you wait 38 years? That's a long time. Can you wait 12 years? But here's a man blind from birth. And make a note, he couldn't see Jesus, but Jesus saw him. He couldn't see Jesus, but Jesus, just like Jesus sees us, everything, God hasn't forgotten you. God hasn't given up on you. Don't give up on yourself. Don't give up on God. Don't give up on your life. Don't give up on your dreams, because God sees you. Don't make a permanent choice on a temporary situation. Don't make it more than it is. God hasn't forgotten you. But then look, it even gets more intense. Verse 9 and chapter 9 and verse 1. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples, look at this loaded question. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master or teacher, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? In the Jewish culture, they believe that once the baby is born and takes his first breath, then it becomes a living soul. Not that it's not alive at conception, but until that, when it takes its first breath, that becomes a living soul. And they base that on in Genesis when God created Adam from the dust and breathed into him, and then he became a living soul. So they say when you breathe, then you become the living soul that God created you to be. Although you're alive at conception, you don't become that living soul. So they're trying to figure out between the man's parents and between the time he took that breath, who committed sin that he was born blind? It has to be somebody's fault. We're always looking for somebody to blame. Somebody say amen. It has to be somebody's fault. For where I am today, it's my mama's fault because she wasn't there. It's my daddy's fault because he left. It's my brother's fault because they showed me all the wrong things. It's my sister's fault because she taught me. It is the church's fault because they never did what they were supposed to do. It is the police fault. It is the system's fault. It's always somebody's fault for where I am. Who sinned? Who committed the sin so I wind up where I am now? Jesus said, hold up. No. Jesus said, no, that's not the case. Look at verse 3. Jesus answered, neither had this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Somebody make a note of that. Where we are today, where I am, where you are, it's so God can show his life through us. Amen. Where you are right now, God says, I want to use you to manifest myself within you so you can tell others about me. Your ups, your downs, your success, your failures, use everything to tell others about God. That's the bottom line. Regardless of what you and I have been through, whose fault is it where I am right now? It's nobody's fault. It's actually God. If you allow God to, he wants to take that situation so others can know that God is alive and well. God wants to take you from nothing to something. God wants to take you from death to life. God wants to take you from darkness to light. God wants to take you from a zero to a hero or a shero. God wants to use you right where you are, but you have to give God the glory for it. Our whole life has just been a setup so God can say, look, you've tried it your way. Here you are. Now let me use you. But when I use you, tell everybody else about me. This man was set up from birth. This is what he was born for. This is what you and I was born for. And in this culture, it's gotten turned upside down because I'm supposed to tell everybody about me and nobody about God. It's about me. Well, we take the selfies, right? I'm like, yeah, if I had my phone, I'd take one right now. Okay? So I can show everybody about me. God says everything that's happened in your life. And just think about your last week. Last week, did you use every opportunity to share with someone about the goodness of God? Well, if you can't think about last week, think about last night. Did you use every opportunity to share the goodness of God with someone? It's all been a setup. That's a tough word. That's a tough place to be. You mean everything that happens in my life, I'm to point others towards God? Yeah. Because when it comes down to it, that's really all that matters. If we're going to be with God in eternity or be in a Christless eternity. Verse 4 says, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. So Jesus saying that we all have a certain amount of time. The night cometh, that word night in the Greek means that it alludes to death. Jesus only had 3 years. From 30 to 33 were the years of his ministry. He only had 3 years to share with the world about God. He said, I got to work while I have the time. We talked about it on our youth retreat. The biggest enemy of our youngsters is that they think they have more time than they do. You know, I'll give my life to Christ. Man, when I get about 40 or 45, then I'm going to have fun right now. But who's to say that we're going to make it to 40 or 45? Who's to say our youth are going to make it? So the enemy uses time against our youngsters. And those of us who are not so young, we know we our time is limited. Some of us on borrowed time. Somebody say amen. I always use the basketball analogy. It's like the fourth quarter with 2 minutes left. Boy, this game is winding down. And we hope we go to overtime. Somebody say, man, God, give me some overtime. God, I'm hoping to get a little overtime on this thing called life. Sudden death overtime. And Jesus is saying, I got to work while I have the time, because when death comes, I can't do any more work for God after it's gone. And then I was just doing a little research on just the miracle of God and life and death. Sometimes we look for the big miracles, but the little miracle of just waking up. Just the little miracle of waking up. You ought to tell somebody, how's your day? I'm blessed because I woke up this morning. God allowed me to get up. I know that seems weird, but just a little miracle of waking. That's a miracle right there. Everybody didn't wake up this morning. They have this thing, as I was doing the research on this, they call it the death clock or something. And it calculates the number of deaths. It was kind of depressing, so I'm going to try and lighten it up a little bit. But it was. It said 1.8 person. I don't know how you get 1.8. So you round it up. Hey, you want to try math class this morning? For the visitors, we've been terrible at math. So this is math class, but if you round 1.8, rounds up to what?
It's 1.9.
Oh, my gosh, we're in trouble. Okay, if you round 1.8, I told you, don't worry about it, Brother Wayne. You just visiting, but you fit right in with us. You should join because you fit right in. Who's my mathematician? 1.8, JL. 2.0, thank you, JL. All right. Will you tutor Wayne after service, okay? So... That's the death clock, yeah. So to say 1.0 or 2 people die every second. That's crazy. And so then it got to 106 per minute. Let's see. And then it just kept getting more and more depressing. It was 106 per minute. 400 every hour, 153,000 a day, and 4.6 million a month, 56 million a year. If you don't think it was a miracle of you getting up this morning, you need to change your whole perspective. You got to change. It is a great day. I don't know what's going to happen, but I got up this morning. It is a beautiful day. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Just the miracle of life is a great start, Brother Wayne. It's a great start. And so we take the miracles, we take the miracles of God for granted. We use it as a cliche. Well, I got up today. Don't use it as a cliche. I mean, that's real talk now. When you look at worldwide, how things happen. And that's why Jesus said, I got to work while it's day, because after a while, I can't work anymore. And when we look at numbers like that, we just can't go to work and see somebody at the job and have the opportunity to share Christ and say nothing. Or somebody at the gym, or somebody at school, or somebody in the community. That's why Jesus stopped and paused and spent time with this blind man who couldn't see him, but Jesus could see the blind man. All right, let's finish up. Then verse 5, as long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. Jesus said he's the lamp, he's the illumination of the world. We thank God for that. He'd also told him that in chapter 8. But then, as God works in our life, look at verse 6. And when he had said this, he spat on the ground, or he spit on the ground and made clay of his spit. So God, it don't seem like I want to. Could there be another way? Maybe, but God doesn't always use our ways like his ways. So God, his way of dealing with something is probably the opposite or far from the way we would deal with something. You have to leave God room. You have to allow God to work the situation out the way that he would. Sister Kathy, he spit on the ground. By the way, it was the earth he made and he created, okay? All right? So it's perfectly all right. He spit on the earth that he created. So it's kind of like a fixed fight or loaded dice or something. He said, well, this is my ground. Watch this. He spit on the ground. Then he took it and he made some clay. Then he said he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, which means he smeared it on his eyes. Come on, Jesus. You could have did something different than that. You got to spit on the ground and touch my eyes. I don't know. I don't know if I'm cool with that, but that's okay. Whatever you and I are dealing with, and we think that God should handle it like this, dot that I, cross that T, because God, that makes perfect sense. Jesus said, I want to spit on the ground and get in some dirt, smear some dirt on you, and allow that to heal you. He says, I want you to go and walk around the walls of Jericho 7 times and then scream. And that's how you're going to win the battle. Man, that don't make no sense. They got knives and stuff, and you're talking about I got to walk around and scream. Yeah, go wash yourself in the Jordan River. He tells David, you're going to fight this big guy Goliath, but just take a stone and a slingshot. Jesus, that makes no sense. And he tells you and I to be quiet and trust him. We like, God, that makes no sense. He says, I'm forever and always the same. We say, God, I know that, but I need some help today. And what you're talking about makes no sense. But family, you and I, we got to leave some God room. We got to let God work it out. And we have to trust God with the details. Trust God, leave the details to him. That's a hard place to be in. That's what it means to walk by faith and not by sight. To trust God with the details, it is the toughest thing that you and I will ever do. Because there's so much pressure. I got to have it today. I got to get it done. I need this. I need that. God, you don't understand what's happening. God says, I see you. God says, I see you. Trust me. Amen. Even if you don't see him, he sees you. God says, I got some spit and some dirt I'm getting ready for you. I mix it up. You got to trust me. You got to get a little dirty. It's going to work out, but you got to trust me. When he had thus spoken, verse 6, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spit. And he smeared the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and then he said, go. Here's one of the keys. All right. When we come to church, we come for information, but we don't just want information. We want revelation from God. Reveal some things to us so it can transform our life. So he said unto him, go, which means he draw away, get away, go wash yourself in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way thereof and washed and came seeing. And that word seeing means a whole myriad of things. It's different from sight. Sight means to recover your eyes, but to see means that now he understood some things were exposed and some Something appeared to him, something was known, something was made actual to realize who and what one is. Some things became visible. He was able to see what they call the mind's eye. He was able to see God clearly. He just didn't get his eyes back, but he's able to see God clearly. Sometimes we can see, but we're blind to the ways of God. This man was physically blind and spiritually blind, and his encounter to Jesus allowed him to be able to physically see and spiritually see and discern as well. All right, so family, here's the trick. How do you know when it's God's voice? When God is doing something that doesn't make any sense, and then he says, I need you to follow me, how do you know? It could be your flesh, it could be the enemy, it could be God, it could be anything. Now, the only way to understand if it's God is if you got to spend time with God. God speaks through his word. And I tell you this, God will never tell you anything that's contrary to his word. So if it doesn't line up with the word, but if you don't know the word, then you don't know if it's God or not. So you got to know the word, or you got to be able to ask someone who's more learned in the word that can break down the word to make sure that it is God's voice that you're hearing. But if you don't know the word, and see, we talked about it before. We actually have an advantage over the disciples and the prophets because they didn't have the word. They were creating the word for us. Because we said, man, if I would have been in the days of Jesus, I would have did everything you said. No, you wouldn't. Well, they actually wrote it down and gave you the word. And he said, he is the word. Now you have the word. So then you should do everything that it says. We have an advantage. They didn't have the word. They were making it up as they went along. And it was being recorded. Now we have God's written word. Amen. They didn't have the spirit living inside of them. So now we have the word, we have the spirit, and we don't study, we don't read, we don't know, and we wonder, God, why won't you talk to me? And God says, I've been trying, but you got to slow down. I need to talk to you. Otherwise, you'll spin your wheels your whole life. You'll frustrate yourself your whole life because you couldn't take time to spend with me. It gets better. Verse 8, the neighbors, therefore, and they which before had seen him, that he was blind, said, is this not the one that begged? That's all he was. He was blind. He had no resources. All he could do was beg. And in verse 9, some said, yeah, it's him. Others said, no, he looks like him. But then he said, yeah, it's me. You know how people talk about you when you're standing right. I'm right here, okay? Just ask me. Yeah, it's me. Make a note, family. You can't argue with a changed life. You can't argue with a changed life. People know how you used to be, and they know how you are now, and they see that you're serving God, and they think you're kind of weird, but that's okay. You can't argue with a changed life. You can't argue with a changed life. So he said, yes, it is me. Uh-oh, here we go. Verse 10. Therefore they said unto him, how were your eyes opened? Remember, Jesus said he was born for this moment. He was born for verse 11. He answered us and said, a man they call Jesus. He was born for that moment, Sister Sherry. God knew before he was created that he would be sitting there. Jesus would be passing by after that intense argument with the Pharisees. Jesus would heal him, and they would say, how did you get healed? He said, because of Jesus. People want to know how you were born for a moment too. Don't miss your moment. How's your life changing? What's happening? Because of Jesus. Don't miss your moment. Regardless of how intense, how much the haters are on you, regardless of how you might seem, your life is jacked up and it's falling apart. You got to say, but Jesus is working. What's going on with you? Jesus is working in my life. He said, I don't know, but it's a man called Jesus. He's born for that moment. just the reality of Jesus Christ. He answered and said, a man that is called Jesus made clay. He anointed my eyes and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went. Notice that he went, because he could have said, man, you crazy. Get this stuff off my face. Put some going spit and dirt on my eyes. Man, are you crazy?
Right.
I'd have sock you. I wish somebody would spit and put some dirt on my eyes. Anyway, praise the Lord. Okay. I mean, he could have said, man, what is wrong with you? But he said, and I went and washed and I received sight. He recovered his sight. Remember, he right there, it's a different word in the Greek. He just was able to see. But when he came back seeing, that word seeing is totally different from sight. You can have sight, but you might not be able to see God. There's a big difference. So your prayer is, God, help me to see you. I just don't want sight. God, I really want to see you. I want to know you. I want to be able to discern. I want you to reveal yourself to me. Mm-hmm. Verse 12. Then they said, then said they unto him, where is he? He said, man, I don't know. And they brought him to the Pharisees, which Pharisees him that aforetime was blind. So the same guys who was hating on Jesus, they took him to Jesus. They took him to the Pharisees. And it was a Sabbath day. And you know, that's always a problem. So they took him to the religious folk. Make a difference. Make a notice, a difference between being religious and having a relationship with Jesus Christ. Religion says, I always have to do it like this. Religion says, do this, do that, do this, do that, and don't do this. God is not about the don't do's. Relationship says, I talk with God, he leads and guides and directs me. That's a big difference. Religion says, you can't do this. God says, listen to me and I'll tell you what to do because of our relationship. And we don't want to get religious. That's why I say, even with the Proverbs, if you miss a day, that's okay. It's not a religious thing. I got to read today. I got to pray. Don't make it religious. Make it because I love God. I want to have a relationship. I want to hear from him. So I read my word. I study my word. It's based on a relationship, not religion. Religion have you all jacked up and cooped up where you can't walk. You can't do this. I didn't read that. I didn't study. No, it's not a religious thing. Make it a relationship thing. I study because I want to hear from God, because I don't want to start the day going out in the LBC or LA or Compton, anywhere, without knowing, God, I need you leading, guiding and directing me. God, I want to be in tune. Show me, protect me from danger seen and unseen. I have a relationship. It's not all religious where I got to read, because then I got to like act weird and say, read the Bible. That's what the Pharisees were. They said, it's a Sabbath day. Why are you getting healed on the Sabbath? He didn't stick to the tradition. Man, you would think they would be happy for a guy who's been blind since birth and now he's seeing, and all they could think about, why did he do it like that? It wasn't supposed to happen today. These are the church folks. It ain't even happy for this guy. You know, church folks, not y'all, but some church folks can be the worst. You know they can. It always has to be like this. Will you leave some room for God? It's God's church. It's not our church. They're upset because a man who was born blind, his eyes are open and he can see. And they're upset. Who has a problem with that? They got a problem with it. When people walk through these doors, regardless of how they come, you don't know what God's doing in them and how they're going to leave. We can't try and play Holy Spirit. We let God work it out. These guys were a piece of work. All they could think about, man, this was a Sabbath day. And because Jesus made clay, they consider that as work. You're not supposed to work on the Sabbath day. You're not supposed to do anything, which they did anyway. But they're so religious, they can only see other people's stuff. They can't see the work they've done. They can only see other people's stuff. So they're upset because he made clay. Not praising God. They're persecuting when they should be praising. They just had it all mixed up. And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then again, the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He said unto them, he put clay upon my eyes and I washed and I do see. here we are. We'll wrap it up right here. Therefore, some of the Pharisees said, this man is not of God because he keepeth not the Sabbath. He didn't do it the way God should have done it, the way I thought God should have done it. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was division among them. Just like it is today. When God is moving, you always have two types of people, those who believe and those who don't. We're right in the middle of that. We'll leave here, we'll go home, we'll go to school, we'll go to work, and you're going to have two types of people, those who believe, regardless. It could be a miracle, the miracle of just getting up that we already talked about. That's not enough for some folks. And some going to believe and some don't. And that's where you and I, we're right in the middle of that. Do we really believe, and we've been talking about it all year, do we really believe what God is speaking to us through his word? Now, in August, I'm going to do the second half of this because it was just too much for me to try and squeeze into our time here. So in August, I'll do the second half of this communion message and finish it up. And it gets better. It's really insightful on God. One of the things that it talks about is how the Pharisees, although they were, and we talked, I mentioned it earlier, how they were physically able to see, their heart and their mind was spiritually blind. It's a tough place to be in. Don't let your heart and mind be spiritually blind to God. Ask God to open my heart and my mind that I can see God. God, reveal yourself to me if you've never asked God that before. And how the man went from physically and spiritually blind to physically being able to see and spiritually being able to see as well. So as we take communion, I'm asking the brothers to come up. Pastor Manny, Brother Anthony, if you all would come up and pass out the sacraments. One interesting thing happened on a retreat. And there was another group of believers up there. There was actually quite a few groups of believers up there. But one, you could tell they weren't from America. So I asked the pastor, what region they were from. And he said, we're from Egypt. So they were Coptic Christians. I told him when I was in Egypt, I had the opportunity to spend some time with some Coptic Christians. He said, yes, that was us. That's us. And he said, when St. Mark, when he got the gospel, he went to Egypt. All right, cool. So make a note of that. The disciples of Christ, St. Mark went to Egypt. St. John went to Asia. I shared with you how Thomas went to the southern tip of India and Matthew went to Armenia. And as we take communion, I mean, this thing is not a hoax. It's not a joke. It's not mythology. These were real people. These real men gave their lives so that the gospel of Jesus Christ could be spread. The gentleman said something really interesting, too. We were talking, and I said, you know, before I went to Israel, before I went to Egypt, I always thought that that region of the world was Muslim. He said, Pastor Carter, you forget, we were here first. He said, Islam didn't start to the 700th century. He said, we were all Christians before that came in. I said, brother, you got a point there. Only John died a natural death. All the others were killed because they wouldn't stop talking about Jesus Christ. To the point that we know about Jesus Christ today. Jesus Christ split time in half 2,016 years ago. That's why we're in the year 2016. So as we prepare to take communion, just be mindful that Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. So we'll never forget. Forever and always the same. Because stuff happens. You got death, you got life, you got marriage, you got divorce, you got terrorism, you got gangbanging, you got accidents, you have work, you got layoffs, you got everything going on. But Jesus said, put your life back in perspective. Never forget what I did for you. Do this in remembrance. As often as you can, do this in remembrance of me. And Natalie, if you could bring up, was it 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 24? Believe that's it. On the night, remember, it was the night when in which Jesus was betrayed. He gave thanks and he broke bread. Think about it. Have you ever been betrayed? Have you been betrayed in the same night you've been betrayed and you gave thanks? I mean, that could be possible because you say, okay, Lord, at least you showed me who they really were. I'm cool with that. And now I know not to spend time anymore, waste any more time with whoever. But one thing communion does is ask us that we have to forgive those who have wronged us. You have to. I know it's hard. But that's the only way, because Jesus forgave us. If you haven't accepted Jesus Christ into your heart as your personal Lord and Savior, then don't take communion because it doesn't mean anything. But if you have accepted Jesus Christ into your heart and as your personal Lord and Savior, he says, do this in remembrance of me. Hey, but the good news is, if you say, Pastor, I want to get saved right now and take communion, then, hey, raise your hand and let's pray. But be mindful that this is such a precious moment, because it reaffirms and it confirms that 2016 years ago that Jesus Christ resurrected, split time in half. One of the things I'll never forget, when we were in Israel and we went inside that empty tomb where he resurrected from, and it was empty. Jesus is the only one that lived, died, and then rose again and told us how to get to heaven and what heaven would be like. No one else has ever done that. Many great men and women have lived and died, but none came back for 40 days to teach and to show how to get to the kingdom of God. And thank God for the disciples that went out and wouldn't stop even until they were dead. And the message of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit lives on forever and always the same. Go ahead and elevate that which represents his body. Lord, we thank you for allowing us to take communion this morning. The miracle of life, the miracle of us being here, Lord. We take nothing for granted. What a blessing. We love you. We bless you. We thank you. But you paid a physical price for us to be free. You said, do this in remembrance of you. This reminds us of what you went through so that we could be free. It reminds us that you're coming back for us. It reminds us to don't fall apart. Don't lose hope. Don't give up. Because God is still with us. It reminds us every time we take it that God is still with us. Go on and eat that which represents his body. Then elevate that which represents his blood. Lord, we thank you that we've been studying the book of Leviticus. It says, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. The life of the flesh is in the blood. And it makes so much sense, Lord. Our life, if we lose blood, we lose life. It only makes sense that the blood of Jesus Christ would give us life, because the life of the flesh is in the blood. And without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. Thank you, Lord, for forgiving us of our sins. Thank you for cleansing us, giving us more than a second chance. Thank you for giving us another blessed chance. Thank you for giving us another day. Forever and always the same you are, faithful God. Thank you that you did for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. We couldn't save ourselves. And while we were yet sinners, you died for us. And we love you for that, Lord. And we remember what you did, and we say thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Go on and drink that which represents his blood. Pass them to the aisles. And if you would, once you've passed it down, go on and stand to your feet. And Lord, we thank you that you've come to give us life and that more abundantly. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hug somebody and you are dismissed.
For the men's meeting, are we still on the first principle or the second principle?